Blog Talk Radio.
Channel tonight, the Inside Scoop. You're here with me. I'm Luann Fleming, and Robin Austin is with us. And
hello,
Marcy
everyone.
Here's Robin, and Marcy's
going
to take the night off, and Hillary's not feeling well tonight. So let's put a little prayer for them that they get better, and they'll probably come on next week. They're going to take a day off. Anyway, those are the two advocates that we have in Florida, by the way. That is Hillary Hogue and Marcy Friedman. She's also in Florida, so if you need to talk to anybody, you up with that. Anyway, today is October 30th, almost the last day of the month, and our guests tonight are two brothers from Colorado. And let me talk a little bit about that first because we're waiting for them to come on the air. But let's see. They're going to be talking about public administrators, what are their roles, and obviously they're appointed by the district court to act as a fiduciary of last resort when no one else is willing or able to serve as a conservator for a protected person's best interest. So why are families not being appointed? So let's talk about probate flaws. We'll also be discussing some topic about Know Your Constitution by Carl Miller. Anyway, I wanted to give you a little bit of background about the two brothers, and hopefully one of their friends will call in too. But it is David and Gregory Wells, and their mother is in guardianship for 2 years in Colorado. David and Gregory have supervised visits, $1.2 million spent on unnecessary care and unethical practices. So right now you guys are listening to Blog Talk Radio on the Hidden Truth Revealed channel. We're called The Inside Scoop, and let me get Robin on the phone with us. Robin, are you with us?
Here I am. Yes, indeed. Welcome.
Welcome, welcome. And we also have the brothers coming on. I know one of them is on, called in so far. And we have some interesting topics. As you know, we have a lot of people that are in guardianship across the nation. And the hotbeds are all over the place. I know Gretchen Rachel Hammond's talked about that many of these states are in jeopardy right now because of the guardianship laws that are going on. And it's not just one state or the other state that are worse. It's most of the country that is in these guardianships that are turned very abusive. And so we're out here to talk about how you can protect yourself against that and make sure your families listen to every one of these recordings. You can also listen to the Marty Oakley show. She has topics going on about hospice also. That also comes in later on when these people are in guardianship. Hospice will come in. I did talk to a hospice survivor just a few days ago, and I'm hoping to get her onto our radio show. She's actually a hospice survivor, you guys. She's been through it all. They had her doped up. She got off of it, doing better, and she's going to be calling in. I'm going to try to get her onto the radio show in the next few weeks, but that's a really interesting topic because We all know what happens with guardianship abuse and how that turns into hospice, and before you know it, that person has been, you know, been killed by the by our own judicial system, Robin, right? You know? Anyway, you still there? Robin? Robin?
Yes, sorry.
Anyway,
sorry,
let me...
I had...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that is the pattern that we see over and over is people are placed into guardianship and then their assets are depleted. They are controlled from that moment forward. Their access to their families are limited. Their access to their own funds is cut off completely. They're not permitted visits. They're not permitted. They don't even make decisions about what they get to eat or how much water they get. And at a certain point, which sometimes happens very quickly, they may be put into hospice care. And of course, hospice care, I think most people are aware that that is that's care for people that are dying. And you know, you're placed in a hospice at the time when your situation is more or less hopeless to ease the pain of going through the transition of death. That's what it should be. That's what it's designed to be. But what it has become is something very horrific in our society today, because people are placed in hospice care without being terminal, without being terminally ill, without against their wishes. There are do not resuscitate orders placed on them that they do not want, and they are oftentimes killed very much against their will. And this
right.
is not something that should be happening in this country, because when you kill someone against their will, I think we have a term for that. I call that murder.
Yeah, I say the same thing, and I just want to let everybody know, last week we started this radio show, and we got about 30 minutes into the show, and the whole thing just shut down. So I want to let everybody know that I had my I've talked to Block Talk Radio. I've talked to quite a few people. I did get a new modem put in out here. I had the phones checked. I haven't heard too much back from Block Talk. And my next move is to get a different phone, but I don't think that's a problem. We'll see how the show goes tonight. And maybe we're set. Let's keep our fingers crossed tonight. But you're right, Robin. You are exactly right about what's going on, you know, with the probate courts. And the reason why you and I continue to do these shows and with our other co-hosts is it is absolutely horrifying how you could end up into a probate system and end up getting all of your assets taken, even though you thought that you were finalized with your estate planning and you put everything in a trust or you put them in wills. But nowadays it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter about any of that. You know, so I want our viewers to know that you could have all your ducks in a row when it comes to estate planning, but that doesn't mean you're going to be safe. So that's our word that we want to get out tonight. So let's bring in David right now. He's with us. David?
Yeah.
Good.
Are you here?
I see that you got on there.
Hi, David. Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I think the bottom line is, and I've heard this before again, and this is the hardest thing when you have, you know, someone that's experiencing dementia or a little bit of Alzheimer's or even memory loss, is get the assets out of that person's name and to the person that's taking care. You know, like for me, I think the only way out of it, if I would have quit claimed all the assets into my name, and they would still
exactly.
be there, and then they would have to go after me. But I did hear a clause that you have to have it seasoned for 5 years. If it's not seasoned for 5 years, they could still come after you.
You know, you're exactly right about that. And it happened where they have come after families up in some Florida cases where they try to come after a couple of the people up there up in Florida, and they would will them a house, and then the guardians didn't like it. They would go after that person to get that house back, even though that house was given to them for 2 years. So you still got to be careful
Correct.
Of that. But is that what we're talking about, David?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So well, we'll talk a little bit about
even
that.
Even if you give someone a house, they're going to question that. We thought about the same thing with my family, that if we would have went in there and my dad just gave us the houses and done all that, we would have still had them. More than likely, we would have. You know, but when you put it all in an estate like, forget it. When you put it in a trust or will, I'd never do that again. I recommend everybody doesn't do that. You know, unless you have like 30 different bumps in the road and, you know, you're an attorney, you know what you're doing. Even then, I don't even know if I would do it. You know, that's what that one attorney came on from Texas, and he was talking about how he had a trust and all that. And we're like, you're an attorney and you have a trust? You know? We all just out there like, oh, my God, are you serious? And he goes, well, I kind of know what I need to do about it. And it's like, oh, my God. But anyway, some of our topics we're going to be talking tonight, you know, Dave, when we started this last week, was we're talking about public administrators and what are they supposed to be doing? What's their job role? What's their title? Out here in Colorado, you know, I'm not going to name names, but many of these public administrators out here, I've had so many complaints come into our radio shows and come into, you know, to the Senator Laura Woods' office and many of the public administrators. But a lot of their role is supposed to be the fiduciary is supposed to be the last resort when there's no one else willing or able to serve as a conservator for protect the person's best interest. But we're not seeing that happen here in Colorado. We're seeing that as the first resort. They don't even have, they don't even put family in charge, right? Is that what you're seeing also?
No. Absolutely. You know, they're saying, it says it in their book, in the Guardian book, that, you know, when someone's able and willing, especially a family member, should be first. And putting somebody into, you know, a hierarchy, when they put people into the probate system or guardianship, the hierarchy should starts with family first, and they've been wiping away with that. No problem. No, we don't consider that. And then they'll always come up with something a little bit different, saying, "Oh, well, you didn't file this paperwork or this paper, or if we filed our paperwork to a T, and they still wipe away from our conservatorship and guardianship."
Right, and they just come in there and figure out a way. It's such a huge. There's so many probate flaws. I mean, I sat there and wrote out at least 25 different flaws, you know, that we had when Rob and I were starting this book. And there were so many different flaws that basically the whole system needs to be abolished, in my opinion.
And I think I got here the oversight of public administrators. Well, now we found out that they don't get paid by the state. They don't get paid by the state. They're not county employees whatsoever. They're not county employees whatsoever. What I found here is they get it paid by the estate.
What?
So it's a corporate
fund
scheme.
That's the only way they get paid is by the estate. And that's why they can charge themselves $100,000 or $150,000 per year or per 6 months, in my case.
Right.
And then the only oversight where they come from is from the Supreme Court. So now you're talking judicial, right? Three parts of, right? Well, the public administrator can't serve as a personal representative when there's no heir, okay? No, that's what they're doing. They're jumping over the conservator, the trustees, and it's a mockery because it's a corporate Ponzi scheme. They only answer to the public administrators, Marcia McMenemy. They only answer to the chief of the Supreme Court, who nominates them, because these are appointed. These aren't elected. This is what makes it a corporate Ponzi scheme. They answer to the governor, and they answer to the governor. But they're not a county-paid employee. So that's
right.
Where the fraud is.
Now, that's what we did. I wanted to tell you what we did. We did have one senator, Morgan Carroll, that wanted to put these public administrators on the salary by the state. We did go into legislation with that, but it was shot down on party lines because one was a Republican, one was a Democrat, and they were fighting against that. They didn't care about what was going on with the public administrators hurting the public. But that would have been a good idea to put them on state salary. Then there would be no reason for them to come after a state.
Absolutely.
But they didn't do that. It didn't pass. None of the laws we went down to pass because it's too much money being made by these attorneys and by these public administrators. And the families are all getting screwed out of their inheritances. They're getting screwed out of taking care of their family members. This is a big epidemic that we have out here in Colorado, but it's all over the nation. I like to have people call into the show and let us know what the remedies are to fix this problem that we have in the United States. I mean, if anybody has any solutions besides suing the pants off these people, what else could be done? Legislators are not listening to us. I think the news stations have to come in. They have to get involved. That's the only thing I can think of that's going to happen. And even then, it's like in Nevada, after all that stuff went on with April Parks, this other guy gets, what's his name? I can't remember his name off my head, but he goes in there and he rescues his mother. And he's out being
Roger Hilligan.
Yes, Roger Hilligan. You're exactly right. And you would think with all that publicity they got with April Parks, they would understand why he went in there to take care of his mother. Now, from what I heard, his mom just passed away. My heart goes out to his family so much. Oh, my gosh. That is so devastating for him to have to put up with all these courts and all this jail and all this just because you want to rescue mom out of a really bad situation. But nothing has really changed out there. So who do we know that? If we were to change our policies in Colorado, are they going to follow the law? Or is it just going to be, well, forget it. We're just going to do whatever we want. We're going to police ourselves. That's the problem we have with the probate stuff going on. Robin and I, remember that, Robin? You and I went to legislation nonstop out here. What happened about that?
Many, many times we've stood in front of legislators. We've talked to the Supreme Court about the problems. We've talked to the supervisory bodies about the problems, and you know they all are happy to give you a sympathetic ear, but that's all they give you. There is no remedy because I really think it comes down to there's so much money going into the pockets of these crooked attorneys that they're buying everybody. They can pay, you know, if you're an elected official and you've got an attorney that put $100,000 into your campaign, you're going to listen to them over a bunch of people that say, hey, that was my $100,000 that they stole from me that they gave you. You know, well, that's too bad because they gave it to me, so I'm not listening to you. You know, I mean, I hate to say it, so that sounds so
and
callous.
Even if we had $100,000 or $1 million and to give it to these people, who's to say the public administrators, and they do. They go right up and say, hey, they gave you $1 million. How about we give you 1.2? Now you double the salary.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And they do that. And they
yeah.
do it right down to the judge.
Right. They do. And we have evidence that shows in certain cases, we have evidence of judges that take out loans on a house that get paid back in record time, just amazingly fast when you consider the salary of the judge is completely out of proportion to how rapidly some of the loans that they are taking out get paid back. And it happens over and over. Well, obviously those judges are not paying their own loans off with their salary. There's some other source of funds. I wonder, could it be some attorney that is in that courtroom saying, judge, hand over these assets that belong to this family to me, and, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, we'll see what's in your Christmas stocking, you know, because that's the only explanation that makes sense as to why so many of these judges would simply ignore family members and ignore the law that says family members must be assigned first. If they are available, they should be assigned. And just ignore the medical evidence, the fact there's a lack of medical evidence a lot of times about these cases where a person is put under guardianship for very bogus reasons, you know, pretend reasons, imaginary reasons. They're not real reasons. They're phony. But the judge pretends right. like everything's okay, and there you go, traipsing down the garden path to your guardian, and you, my friend, we'll see you at the bar later when you slip an envelope to me to pay off my mortgage. You know, I mean, I know it sounds horrible, but it is horrible. I'm just telling the truth. It's a horrible truth.
Yeah. Yeah, we had some advocates going around and doing some research, and they found out that happened to be true. And that's really sad when we all suggested that might be the case. That is the case on some of these. And we're not saying that. There's some really decent judges out there. But, you know, like, we've got to keep in mind that one bad judge doesn't spoil them all. Is there's many of judges that need to start paying attention to what's going on. And they really need to start working for the people, because that's why we pay these courts. That's why, you know, this is our tax dollars going to work, and obviously it's not working. You know, Marcy and I were talking earlier today, talking about that we're turning like into a fascist state. You know, that we're turning into a communist state coming down. I am starting to believe that myself. What's your guys' thoughts on that?
Well, I don't think they should be compensated whatsoever. I think that their court standards are their national probate court standards. I think it's, to be honest, it's all a sham. It's Nazism. They came up with this in 1975, and they started doing their probate codes that they made up, and they're not an elective official. This is, a corporate Ponzi scheme.
They don't follow any of their own rules. They have a judge that can sign off on anything and everything.
And
this is what I have found out.
They're seeking payments from a state, from the state, with, you know, their final order or their concerning their compensation. And their standards are, they've got a godlike complex now, where they've gotten away with it so many times. Who's going to stop us? Well, we are the people. We can stop them. And your
right.
radio show is your first platform. Our second source is gather the numbers. Let's get down there. Let's talk. Let's do it
right.
the media.
And I also wanted
part.
To tell you, I also wanted to tell you that I did hear from some people down south that have some interest going on. So I just wanted to talk to you later, David, after the show, okay?
Okay.
About some certain things, so make sure you call me. But
no
we
problem.
Really want to talk about why this is being allowed to happen. I mean, I couldn't believe it in my own case when I realized we didn't even have a judicial system. I mean, that's why I want our listeners to understand. Share these podcasts that we have to your family members. Share them, because a lot of people are going around thinking that they are safe. You know, it's not like that, people, anymore. It's not like that. We don't live to 30 years ago. You know, even our food isn't as safe as it used to be. Nothing is safe like it used to be. And I just want our viewers to know that no matter what you think, no matter what you do, you are not safe. And like before, we were talking about the hospice stuff, you know, coming down. I just, you know, there's Marty Oakley's doing a show right now, you know, with some hospice people. And this is huge business. From what I heard from hospice, these people, hospice comes in, they get paid one lump sum to dispose of that person when they're supposed to die, when it's their end of life. But what's going on, from what I heard, they're disposing of these people earlier than what they're supposed to be dying, right? So from what I hear, I think they try to kill them as fast as they can to get that one lump sum, and then they get them out of the hospital. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
That opens up a bed, sweetheart. That opens up a bed. If you've got 100 beds in your hospice facility, and you've got 100 patients in your hospice facility, then you can't take any more hospice patients until you get rid of some of them. So if you want to turn those beds quick, then you need to turn those bodies quick, which means go ahead and get them out of the way. And that, unfortunately, I know this is just the way I'm talking. It sounds so callous and harsh. But believe me when I tell you, this is the operating principle that is behind why these things happen. People are going into hospice, and 2 weeks later, they're dead. And as soon as they go into hospice, they cut them off of water, they cut them off of food, and they drug them up. And then it
they put them on morphine.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
I was talking to this lady the other day. She's down in Texas, and she was saying that they had her on Halidol, Seroquel. They had her on methadone, which you're not supposed to give. You know, that's a drug addict. You're trying to get off of some other pills. But she said she was doped up on at least. I want to have her come on our radio show. She was doped up on at least 10, 20 different drugs at one time, and she withdrew herself from all that herself. And you know what? She's still alive today. She's celebrating like her 54th birthday coming up real soon. But this is the amount of drugs that they give you, it almost killed her. And it's going to be a really explosive show, because what this lady's been through is, and she's the one able to talk about this, you know, about what's going on.
Right.
And it blows my mind that the United States lets this happen, you know. And it's all about that mighty dollar, you know. It's very frustrating to know what's going on.
You know, we live in a corporatocracy. Our government is run by corporations. Our government is a corporation that is run by corporate entities that buy the legislators that they want, and they buy the offices that they want, and they buy the laws that they want. And so you have human beings as commodities. And this commodity market says, if I can get this person into my facility, and let's say that they're 6 months from dying, and if I can make that into 2 weeks from dying, but I get a lump sum for taking care of them for the last of their life, and that, let's say that lump sum is $15,000, which is a very conservative estimate, but let's just say, all right, so I can take that $15,000 and I can care for them for 6 months, or I can take that $15,000 and I can get rid of them in a couple of weeks or a few days, and I can get another $15,000 because I've got a bed open, and all I need now is somebody that owns someone, you know, that owns someone, someone that owns someone else, like a guardian who can say, hey, you need to fill a bed? I've got one ready. You know, I just got this new one in, and I'd kind of like to get him out of my facility into yours. Let's just move him over into hospice. And, you know, and that's how callous and cold-hearted and cruel this business is, because these guardians don't care about the people that they're killing, the people that they're controlling their lives, the people that they're robbing. They don't care about those people. They care about the asset that that person is and the assets that that person controls
equity.
And has. Yeah, so they gain control of the asset and the assets, and then they dispose of that asset in the most efficacious manner by selling them over to a hospice, and the hospice just wipes them out. It's a brutal, brutal thing, and people need to realize that's what's going on in order for us to stand up and band together and stop it.
In my paperwork, it shows the guardians and the conservators went to every health care place in town, every memory care, every health care, every Brookdale, went to all of them, and they would not accept my mother because she was too active. Heck, she didn't even want to get, she goes, I don't want to get out of the car. You're trying to put me in that facility. I'm staying right here. Take me back home. Well, they forged a pipe break in the swamp cooler last year at this time, which they didn't do. The breach of fiduciary duties is you winterize the house when, you know, 10 below comes around. But they didn't do that. Flooded the house. They got her out of there, saying it's flooded. Well, you know, your fiduciary duties is to make sure that that house runs optimal at all times.
and make sure the plumbing is good, make sure the sewer is good. Yeah. You also winterize the house. That's including the swamp cooler and the sprinkler system once you know that it's going to get 18 degrees out, which it is right now here in Denver, Colorado. And
yeah,
what we did last week, we knew the storm was coming. I have a 5-bedroom house here. I have a swamp cooler and
a pool
and a sprinkler system. Well, we had to winterize the house. Well, you know, I even brought that towards the probate court. And I went, so?
We don't care.
We don't care.
You're equity. We're equity.
They didn't even listen. I'm like, hey, a pipe busted in your house because we forgot to turn off the swamp cooler, and it drained out through the whole house. Well, they used that to put her into a home, and not one home would accept her, not one of them. But she goes from driving a car to full memory care. And now she's so hopped up on drugs. When I see her, I'll see her again tomorrow, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and that is at basically Unita and Martin Luther King Boulevard, right at Stapleton Airport. There's a big Stapleton, you know, they have their control tower there. And it's right across the street, and she walks out just fine. 15 minutes later, she's in La La Land. Where am I at? What am I doing? What are you guys up to? Wow. So, you know,
over-medicate.
So we're trying to, you know, tomorrow I'm like, hey, you know, I've been walking up here at noon this time, and she's okay until 15 minutes comes in. Now, today, you got her hopped up on drugs for 3 hours. That's why I've been trying to change the timing that I see her. See, well, are you hopped up now or you hopped up later? When we walk out of full memory care, these guys are so drugged up in there that they're just hunched over.
You know, and that's one thing I want to talk about is I know at my mom's nursing home, and she's at the Summit Rehabilitation Care Community in Colorado, and I know they don't use any drugging whatsoever. In fact, I talked to the doctor there, and he says they absolutely refuse that 100%. There's absolutely no drugging of any kind in their nursing home. That's like the only nursing home that I can definitely swear by that does not drug their patients. So if anybody's in Colorado and they don't want their parents drugged and they have to go into a nursing home, please get a hold of me because I can tell you where to take these elderly people. And, you know, from what I hear from some of the people down there, say that some of these stations like PAC, all these different places, they don't even have nursing homes. They don't even know what the word means. They take care of their own family members. So the United States is huge on nursing homes and sending these people off before their day. And if people were to care more for their family members, which I know some of them do, the courts are not letting us take care of our family members. Anybody has the right to take care of their mom or dad at any time. They took care of us. So what is the problem with this? Why are they not doing it? And the only solution that I can think of totally, it's about the money. That's it. You know, and how they separate families and how they make them all look bad. And we already know what they do. You know,
and we went that tactic.
Right.
We went that tactic. We went, hey, you guys can keep all the money. We don't care. We want our mother back.
Right.
She's fine. She can go live with us. You know, and I don't know if anybody's Googled Randy Hillegas out in probate. You know, he basically they said that what he's going through now is armed kidnapping. You know how much armed kidnapping is? You know how much time you get for that? 35 years to life. Now, with no bail, and it says that Rick Black's behind her, and they got Casey Kasem cares, because he had Alzheimer's, and their children opened up a foundation. But Rick Black's behind him with CEAR, and Casey cares, or Kasem cares. But this guy doesn't have a chance in hell. Unless he's got $100,000 or at least $30,000 to give it a top-notch attorney to show him the paperwork that was involved to take his mother out. Now, they say that he forged the paperwork. They always say that to make him look bad. But they,
right.
And they always do that. They're doing everything possible to make him look bad, like he's the bad guy. And he bring him down to Orange County, and she was living in an apartment, and they took a picture of a dirty apartment, of course. But, you know, at least she had freedom. And, you know, that's all my mom wants is, like, you're taking me out of here, when are you giving me freedom? She knows what's going on at all times. It's just they're not letting her do it. And she's telling the guardians. I said, like, tell the guardians right here, you want out of here. You want to be with the boys. I said, we'll take her. You guys keep the money. Because if we get her, they cannot spend the money anymore.
But they do anyways. We'll create
conflict.
Yeah, they even if I did go that route of action, which I wouldn't, but even if you did, the lady that you had took her mom to grief, they did the death certificate.
Yeah,
they want that money.
Right.
That is equity. We are all equity to them.
In their eyes, once we became a nation, and I think it was the time of the Civil War. We held vulnerable, and that's when they started collecting all our bonds. So now, if you notice, these courts, even all criminal matters, parking ticket doesn't matter. They consider us equity, and this is how it's going to run. The more you could get on these guys, the more we need these guys in our prison system. So they'd rather have all of us in jail or dead before they would hand over money. And that's how powerful they've become, because
right.
The judge is in their pocket, and the lawyers are in the pocket, the DA's in the office, all to make you look bad. Even though we all know Randy Hillegas rescued his mother. And we love it. He should be our poster boy. I think Rick Black kind of explained that.
Well,
this
I think he's definitely a poster boy, and I talk a lot about him. And I know of a lot of families that wanted to go on and take their parents back. But I tell you what, you do that against a court order, you're going to face the same thing. And I tell these
and
people,
had
over,
a court
there
order.
Was one family that did get to go to Italy. They did get her mother out. They're in Italy right now. And I tell you what, she could never come back to the United States again. That's how it is. And that's a scary thought when you have your whole family here, you know?
Right. And if you think about it, if we, you know, rescue our mothers or our family members, we're not allowed back in the United States again.
Yeah.
We want
them to honor the contract. We are duly the intended beneficiary of the contract, which is the Constitution. Now, the contracts that we put forward, trust, POA, apply for conservatorship and guardianship, we are the truly intended beneficiaries of the contracts. And
right.
There's no trial by jury here. This is so unconstitutional.
Now, I wanted to get back to last week that we didn't get to. And this is Article 6 of the Constitution. All debts contracted and engagements entered into before the adoption of this Constitution shall be as valid against the United States under this Constitution as under this Confederation. Now, this is a very important part. The Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made, or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary is notwithstanding.
That's Mulberry versus Anderson.
And that's Article 4. And that comes through Murdoch versus Madison.
Right.
But if that's brought up, now I brought that up in court.
Mm-hmm.
Dead silence.
Dead silence.
I brought it up again. Dead silence.
Right.
They won't move. And then they just move past. So if anybody gets into that arena again, you bring that up and you holler it until they actually acknowledge it. And that's it.
Right.
You stop right there. But it doesn't
matter.
They
ever acknowledge you at all? Did they acknowledge you at all?
No. They just moved past.
They just moved past.
And then I go back, and I forget to move back. I didn't stay strong enough of the move back on Article 4 of the Article 6 of the Constitution. And I should have gone back, kept on going back, just like back with Carl Miller, that's the point where you need to stay strong. That's where you stick with, and you just say, hey, you're a violation of your oath of office. It's up to me. You know, here we are. You took an oath of office to uphold the Constitution, and the first thing you do when you get into the office is to scuttle the Constitution.
Then they'll argue jurisdiction. You know, they'll always argue jurisdiction. This is a corporate Ponzi scheme. And this is why it's a corporate Ponzi scheme. There's no elected official. You have two higher-ups. There's basically the Supreme Court Justice of Colorado, and the guy appointed him. That would be
the governor.
The governor.
Right.
Now, you have this corporate Ponzi scheme. Okay, we got two guys only above it. Guess what? I mean, I looked up Marcy McMenemy's assets. She's got $4 million in assets. Where did she get that from?
$4 million in assets.
From all the families. I can name 10 families right now. She was a public administrator to that. I've had nothing but complaints. I mean, we've told a lot of people. Would really necessarily want to talk about what attorneys are what they're doing. But there's many public administrators in Colorado that are simply not doing their job. They are hurting families one after another, and I wish they would just stop. I mean, I don't go out and rip off families to make money nonstop. I don't do any of that. But what I'm trying to say is that these people need to follow the law like everybody else has to. They're not exempt from it. We're not exempt from it. Nobody should be exempt from it. Everybody needs to follow the law. So whatever's going on, needs to be brought to the attention of the courts. It needs to be brought to the attention of the news media. It needs to be brought to the attention of who's ever going to listen and who's in charge.
The IRS.
Yeah, who's in charge?
The IRS.
Who's in charge of all this? The Judicial Performance Commissioners, we brought all this to their attention. They did nothing. Absolutely nothing. But the family we were talking about earlier where they escaped, it was Joanne Burgalus, and we did a show without her called Not Without My Mother. And she actually got up. They left the whole country, and they said that Greece is a fantastic place to live, by the way. She says they don't treat their elders like that at all. Yeah.
Was she on your show?
Yeah, she was on our show.
I think I remember that and what she went through, but she got her mother out of there and into Greece, way better than the United States.
Right,
you know,
and she can't come back to the United States.
And that's
she's afraid to ever come back to the United States, you know?
That's why, you know, we were talking to somebody else that they said if you want to take this criminal, you have to get the civil closed. But the civil's always open, but we want to take it criminally.
Right, the civil, every time you have a problem, they always say it's a civil matter. It's not civil. It's a criminal matter. You know, this is criminal it's turned into. This is not civil, people. This is not. You know, and every time I had a problem with my family, the police department would say, oh, it's civil. Go, you need an attorney for this. So what happens? You go to an attorney, guess what? They take $5,000 or $10,000 just to listen to you. Another $10,000 to go for another week, another $10,000, you end up $60,000, $100,000. There goes your home, there goes your property, there goes everything. You know, you're at a homeless, and we have at least 10 families homeless in Colorado because of this.
And they have no authority to raise by the regulations extending to us individual citizens of the United States. That's why we don't have Title 26 that applies to us. The consequence is that, in theory, the resolutions concerning objects lost constitutionally binding on the member of the union. Yet practice of it's basically Cohen versus Virginia. The intent, you know, these guys are intending.
They got criminal intent.
It's operating a tyranny against the people,
which
right, makes them
exactly.
foreign agents. And that's Cohen versus Virginia, 19 U.S. 246. It's tyranny in our own court system. And
right.
they hope we don't know this. They hope we don't know that truly beneficiary was us, the constitutional, the union,
yeah.
us. Let's just go steal their parents' money. Let them fight amongst themselves. That's their plan. Tear apart family.
Of course. You know, when I told our public administrators and the courts and all these attorneys that it was our family members that were arguing. We had a brother that was in acting riot and a sister and all this kind of stuff going on. But you know what? They didn't seem to care not one iota about that. And you know what the attorney said? I hope the poor old lady has something left him when everything's all said and done. That's what he told us. I was like, oh,
yeah.
my God.
They count.
I could not believe he actually said
that.
He has it in paper saying that. And he was our original trust attorney. He was our original trust attorney that knew what was going on, and he ended up getting a piece of the pie. You know,
oh, yeah.
so
they
I know how
on,
it is.
They count on it. They count it
yeah.
on it. They want
you
that
know,
to happen. And that's what the
yeah.
government is, how they were appointed through this legislation, mm-hmm. and they made up their own Colorado Supreme Legislation, CRS, or the Colorado Revised Statute. They've made this up to their
right.
favor, not to our favor.
They'll definitely not make it for your favor.
The Constitution is for our favor.
Right.
That's what we always
you know,
want to get
in
back
a, here in Colorado, we just we have the office of the state auditor did a huge performance audit on our public administrators, and there was so many flaws
in
there.
I have it here.
I could not believe. You know, and the only thing that came out of all of this, and they had tons of problems in the probate problems that we have, and guess what? All they did was raise a public administrator fee from $25,000 bond up to $100,000. What is that going to do with these homes and these people that are worth $5 million, $3 million, $2 million? You know, that's a piss in the bucket to what they have to do. They just looked at that and said, oh, I just have to go after more families. That's all. They just go. It just gave them more incentive to do more harm. You know, it didn't stop the problem, I feel, at all. But I just want everybody to know, if you do want to call into the show and talk to these Colorado brothers, or if you want to talk about any of the probate problems that you're having in your state, give us a call. The number is 845-241-9962. Again, 845-241-9962 is the number that you call in with, and you press a 1, and that will let us know that you have a question or a comment, because these topics sometimes really tend to heat up, and we can also try to connect you to somebody else in your state to where you can start doing getting a group together, you know, and that's what we've been doing in Colorado. We're getting groups together. We're doing all kinds of stuff to get together. But, you know, you need to work together. And everybody needs to, you know, not argue, not do any of that. And it doesn't matter about the group. I mean, you could go off into your small groups. You can go off into bigger groups, whatever it takes. But you need to stand up and speak out about what's going on, because whatever is going on is wrong. And I tell this to everybody. I've been doing these radio shows with Robin. How long have we been doing these, Robin? But about 3.5 years or something like that.
Yeah.
I wish
I would have found
wrong.
You 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
to tell you the honest truth, the sad honest truth is that if you had found us 3 years ago, it might have made not one drop of difference, because one of the things that we have discovered is that, you know, it takes time to figure out just what is going on. How in the world do people get away with these horrible crimes against families and no one's punishing them? But even once you figured it out, even once you understand, even once you've built an organization of people that know what's going on, and you've talked to legislators, and you've talked to the court system, and you've talked to the Supreme Court, and you've talked to everybody, You've talked to them, law enforcement personnel. You've talked to the FBI. Even when you've done all those things, you discover, well, there still is not a viable remedy for this particular well-protected criminal cabal who's working these crimes. It's,
right.
You know, to be able to hold them accountable is something that we're still searching for the way to do, because we've been at this for 3.5 years. We have done all those things that I just mentioned. We've talked to everybody, you know, district attorneys of several counties, police departments of several counties, the attorney general in several states. We've done this. This is where how we spent our time, what we did to try to accomplish a change. And what we have discovered is that these criminals have taken over the court system. The criminals have paid off these officials. The criminals this is definitely criminal activity that we're talking about. You know,
right.
When you kidnap someone from their home and you rob everything out of that home and you rob the bank account of that person and you kill that person, generally most people would agree that's criminal activity. But when you do it and you've got a judge protecting you, then you get away with that criminal activity with no punishment for years and years. And until there's some kind of media that is able to break through, which is difficult because they buy off the media too. And even if you find media people who will stand up and face the fire and get in there and, you know, someone like Gretchen Hammond, who spent her own money and time, put together her own team, went in and did a full criminal investigation, found the evidence, brought it forward at great personal cost and great threat to her. Well, she's still trying to accomplish getting something done about it. And as are we all, you know, even when you've done all these things, it is extremely difficult to create accountability. So we decided that the thing that we can do is to spread the word. And as that has happened, occasionally we do see something like April Parks, where you've got
right.
some of the most egregious offenders who have killed hundreds, probably, of people, maybe thousands, certainly robbed thousands. You know, these people are criminals, and they are robbing people and killing people every day right here in America, land of the free,
right.
huh? And, you know, they're
right.
taking away that freedom. They're robbing those people, and they're killing those people, and they're walking around buying new Mercedes and buying boats and taking fancy vacations because they've got plenty of money to spend because they're stealing it every day. But they're getting away with
right.
it.
Right, and you know, and that's why I want to put in
an
interview done on the Oakland County Probate Court investigation. According to the stats, and thanks to this Diane and a team at iHeart Radio, parents are hard to raise. There was 180 million listeners in 169 countries are hearing all about the court and its crimes against the Michigan most vulnerable from Gretchen Rachel Hammond, investigative reporter. So the dirty little secret probate courts hope you never find out, the investigative Gretchen Rachel Hammond was on that radio show, and there was 169 countries that listened to that radio show. So that is really excellent, and I posted it up on our Faces Blog Talk radio show, up on Families Against Court Embezzlement, Unethical Standards Faces. It's on Facebook, and you can hear this whole episode with Gretchen on there, and it's really good news that is going out all over the place. So I'm
right.
hoping the word gets out across the nation, but we need. We need like a couple thousand of these reporters reporting this. And bless Gretchen Rachel Hammond. She's awesome. You know, she is absolutely shocked.
I love
right.
her.
And
she's amazing.
Too. And you can go to www.gretchenrachel. I think it's gretchenrachelhammond.com. But she has a website that has all of her news articles on there as well about what's going on up there. So that's a really good investigative journalist reporting, in my opinion. You know, so I want everybody to know that too. But like
well,
I say,
God for her, she's one, like I said, that just took money out of her own pocket and went out and said, "I've got a report on this," and did it and put together this incredible, exhaustive, intense, in-depth exploration of what's going on.
Yeah.
And I want everyone to learn everything that she has discovered, because the more people that understand what is going on, the more hope there is that we, the people, will rise up and say, hey, not in my America, not in my country, not in my UK, not in my Australia. You know, I for one, am standing up and saying, not in my America. We do not
right.
permit this. This is not
yeah.
in my country. We don't allow this to happen. And I don't allow this to happen. I fight it. And I just need a whole lot of other people to stand up with me and say, hey, yeah, that's right. Not in my country. We're not going to have this. You know, and so far, we're outnumbered in terms of the power and the money of our enemies that outnumbers our voices. So we've got to talk louder. We've got to grow
yeah,
to bigger
not
numbers.
Not in my America is really a good saying, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's how I feel about it. I am not, that's why we do these radio shows. That's why I show up for this, because not in my America. I don't permit that in my country. It's not permitted. I'm standing up to say, no, you can't. And maybe I'm not strong enough to stop them by myself. Not just little me, not just me talking, but I'm not the only one talking. And every day there's another Robin Austin born somewhere who's somebody who's like me, who's going to say, no, we're not going to have it. Someone who's going to listen to our radio show and say, hey, that's so right on. I'm joining with these people, and we're going to build teams, and we're going to build structures, and we're going to build a country where our children can grow up where they are not subject to lawless criminals running our courts, taking over our government, and robbing the people without any punishment. We're not going to have it. We're going to stop it. And I appreciate all of you that are on this show tonight with me, and all of you who are listening to this show tonight with me, for being part of this movement that says we don't put up with that in our country. We're going to stop it.
That's really good.
Great
and,
speech.
That's speech.
You dealt with that.
I'm saying
not in my America.
Fraud. Yeah.
Love it. You know, and there was another thing that we got since, you know, President Trump has been wanting to take these corrupt people down. I think I'm right in the process of writing a letter to Trump. Why don't we all write Trump? Why don't we put, you know, one letter going in per day going to Donald Trump? Look at this corruption. Look at you're not in my America. Look what's going on behind your back. This is what he's here to stop, and this is what the, you know, a lot of these people want to stop. They want to stop Trump from dealing with these corruptions that are going on. There's so
yeah.
much corruption going on in the United States. This is what Trump was going into, and he actually went on a speech and said, "Hey, I just gave America their sovereignty rights back. Now you're not a number, which is your Social Security number, which a lot of people thought was the 666 number, which is, you know, another law that they made that was real bad was no, they don't need a warrant to come into your house and arrest you. That was the 666 law. But, you know, everybody knows about the 666. We thought it was the Social Security number. But if we all wrote Trump same time, you know, or if we all put them in one package together, this is what's happening in this county. This is what's happening in this city. This is what happened in this jurisdiction. Exactly what we have on this radio show to
too bad we couldn't have somebody do shorthand each time and said, this is what's going on in America. I did a movie with Gary Busey, and it was in L.A., and the movie never came to light. It was called What's Right with America. And it was basically, you went down the street to go vote, and instead of being voted to this number, there was people, armed guards, saying, you put your ballot here, or just like Gestapo or China, you go to the gulag. So if we can make light of this to Donald Trump before these elections start, you know, in this November, which was, you know, coming up the day after tomorrow, we start, you know, getting formulated. And that's what your platform is. Let's get a remedy. Let's get something going.
I agree
each
with
time.
You. I agree. I would agree with whatever anybody wants to say to raise acknowledgement about this. And I just posted it up on Facebook. And it says probate fraud, for-profit guardianship abuse. This is not permitted. Stand up and speak out. Hashtag. And that's what I just put out there on Facebook.
Hashtag RL, hashtag real Trump. RL hashtag real Trump. Each time you do
right.
something like that, RL hashtag real Trump. REAL Trump.
Right. I'm on Twitter, and I we have that on there. We do that all the time. A whole bunch of us ladies get on Twitter, and we do that stuff quite a bit. And, you know, but it
awesome.
Needs to be,
yeah, we
you know,
be doing
what
that.
Else are you going to do? You know, but we wanted to come on the radio show tonight and kind of continue the this radio show from last week, because for some reason we were got about halfway through and the phones just shut down. And I'm not sure what happened. I've talked to Blog Talk Radio. I've talked to I've got a new modem put in my house. I got this phone. I've got everything. It seems to be doing fine tonight. So I just wanted to make sure that the radio shows are up and they're running, because I wanted to bring some other guests on, but I didn't want the phones hanging up on them. I was kind of shocked that this has been happening for the last month. We're not sure if some of our programs were being hacked into, if the phone lines were. Marty Oakley has been also been having a lot of problems with her radio shows as well. And she said that it's mostly our radio shows that have been targeted, because she knows other radio show hosts, and they have not had as many problems as we've with Marty Oakley's show and our show. So we're hopefully that this is going to be a form now to where we won't have any more of those issues. So, and if this phone is working well, call into the show, let me know, because I'm not sure if the phone I'm having. Can you guys all hear me well on the radio show tonight? No static or anything going on?
Part of the time,
there,
but yeah, uh-huh. Right now it sounds pretty good, but part of the time it has been sort of breaking up. But right now you're pretty clear and it sounds good. So
okay.
There's a mixed answer to that.
Okay, so let me bring
on
that
could be,
someone.
It also could be, you know, at the beginning of the show, that could be also you maybe talking too loud into the speaker or, yeah, back up. But right now you're sounding strong.
Okay, good.
Right.
Okay, so let's bring on a caller from 405 area code. You're live on the air. You have a question or a comment?
Yeah, you're coming in clear here.
Good, good.
Over the phone.
Uh-huh.
And two things. So one, is Elbert County doing any better? I mean, three questions. Last week, Dan, I think it was Dan and somebody else, what county were they from?
They were from the one that came on last week, or I think they were in El Paso County.
Okay. See, I was under the understanding that, you know, that court hearing we went through, went to that they were going to do a lot of improvement. Have they done any improvement? I'm mainly interested in Elbert County because that's where I ran into trouble.
Yeah. Well, yeah, stuff the same stuff. I mean, the only thing that the public administrators were able to do was raise their bond for $25,000 to $100,000. But we're out to make some huge static going on, and I think it needs to be done in every state. everybody needs to get their groups together, and they need to make a – they need to just get up and stand up and speak about what's going on. But as far as I know, not much has been going on. But if you want to join, I can put you on there, and you can help us speak out about it, okay?
Well, so I have another question.
Okay.
Remember when they when we went to that judiciary committee and they killed, I think it was the Folk Bill they killed, and
yeah, the Folk Bill.
Yeah. So I mean, somebody wrote an email to all those committee members,
uh-huh,
and proposed a website where people could air out their grievances, and
uh-huh,
whoever they were accusing of one thing or another could you know, respond. What's wrong
uh-huh
with a deal like that? That seems like it'd be a good way to get started on this, and especially since, you know, those judiciary committee members never answered that email, and so it seemed like that would be the way to get our foot in the door here.
Yeah, that's
a
good thing to talk about, and I welcome anybody's suggestions on what to do with that. And I also agree that you can do this in almost any state. I mean, in Colorado, we're going to be making a movement out here, and I know there's movement going on out in Florida, and let's see, in Michigan from Gretchen Rachel Hammond being up there, and that's why I was also looking at this email I just got from Dr. Sam Sugar. They're also doing some movement out there. They're going to be doing this. If I can just find the email that I just had.
Dr. Sam Sugar, he's got a something going on in November in Orlando, doesn't he?
Yeah, November 4th. I just had the email. I'm just trying to figure out what happened to it.
The problem with these judicial committees, they have no jurisdiction. The problem is we're thinking everybody's getting their pockets greased. No, they have two,
yeah,
these public administrators, these professional corrupt guardians, these fake attorneys,
mm-hmm,
which none of them have a Colorado license to practice law in any state. If you ask them for their license, they'll jump that question. But what I'm trying to say here is, okay, everybody thinks that all these pockets are getting greased.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's only two above the public administrators, which are not county employees, and that is the Justice of the Supreme Court and the governor. So
uh-huh,
everybody's beating down this bush, and when they go, well, when they take it to the Supreme Court, guess what? I should grease in my pocket. I don't
mm-hmm
care. You take it to the only person that you're going to make headway with right now is trying to take down any corruption in the United States. And he's kind of
right
doing a good job of it. Or throughout the world. Who's that? Trump. And believe it or not,
yeah,
we're going to set up letters this week to Trump. We're going to put together our groups with you, Luann.
Yeah.
We're going to set up all kinds of groups across the United States that I will go visit. And I have paperwork of their corruption. Because this was set up in 1975. Now,
right,
if you look at my paperwork, Greg and mine, we have so much evidence against them. It's amazing.
I know. And you know what? I need to
look at it.
Let's hook up this week, David. Let's hook up this week. I got a car. I can go anywhere, everybody.
Can
I finally had to go find me one. It was just so horrible that I had to.
And even you in Elbert County, another guy came on in from Elbert County. And, you know, even an affidavit from you, I didn't get your name
mm-hmm
in Elbert County, but, you know, an affidavit, hey, this is corrupt. This is happening to me. This is exactly the same thing. An affidavit, perfect. You know,
right,
a letter from you, perfect.
Right,
and that's why
I need to talk to you after the show, David. I got some stuff going down that I got to talk to you after the show. But everybody needs to do this in their state, and I'm just glad that there's movement being made. I really am. I get calls from all over the nation all the time, so I pretty know much what's going on in every state, pretty much. So if you ever want to come on to radio shows and talk about how you can get this movement started, come on, text me. You can text me. You can find me on Messenger. I'm always on Messenger, on Facebook. You can find me there. I'm Luanne Fleming, LuanneFleming. You can find Robin Austin, RobinAustin. I think David's even on there too. But I'm just trying to say that for us to allow this to continue, it's just going to be worse on our country. And for me, I don't want to have all these people that worked their entire life, like my family did, for nothing. Okay? And, you know, for me to go out and get a car and put it on car payments and I have to do that the rest of my life when I had a family inheritance coming of millions of dollars and we're out shopping at Goodwill, there's something wrong with that story. There's something seriously wrong. You know, and it's kind of like I've heard this from so many families. They're all shopping at Goodwill. These are wealthy families, people. These are wealthy.
Yeah, but
you know,
Goodwill's a good place to shop for us.
I'm just saying that we don't have the money that we used to just go out and buy a car or just go out and promote other people's shows and go out and help people when they needed a hand. No, you go out and you help your best friend. You go out and you help them with whatever you have to. You know, whatever you have to get this movement, whatever donations you do, you do it. Whatever is going to help the cause, you do it. That's why, you know, like I'm saying with Dr. Sugar tonight, they're having a town hall meeting November 4th, and they're going to be going to the Guardian Town Hall program, which formally begins at 3 p.m. with an e-showing of the Guardianship movie. What I heard, we're going to try to get it to show down there in Colorado Springs, but I'll let you know more about that, what's going to happen down there. I'm still working on all this. It's winter time here. We just got a lot of snow here. Oh, my gosh. I've been digging out for like 3 days now.
And Luann, have you had Julie Belshi on the show?
Yes, I've had Julie Belshi on the show. I want to get her back onto the show. Right. I want to find out what's going on with some of the organizations. You know, there's quite a few of them out there. I want to try to get onto the radio show. So if you have any ideas, who wants to come on, you can have them come on. Let me know, and I'll get them set up. Okay. So anybody that wants to do that, or if you want to talk about your story, whatever you want
to
talk about, Rick Black. He's always one of my favorite guests. I mean, he comes on all the time, and you know, and I like Marcia Southwick and people from NASGA to come on, and Marty Oakley comes and joins me once in a while. But we want to get some of these organizations to see what's going on, to keep everybody updated in the states to find out what's going on with this abuse. But it needs to stop.
It would be really nice if we could get every one of those groups, you know, Sam Sugar, you know, Sierra, Rick Black, you know, it's a bunch of these CPS corruption and ADP corruption, to get on one page. Because I've got, you know, I got three here that I follow you. I mean, if we can get them all together.
That's the
one.
Same thing that Gretchen Rachel Hammond said. She says that we need to unite in every direction. Marty and I, you know, Oakley, so she agrees with that too. But there's some certain groups that, you know, that just, they don't get along. So you have to go, you have to work around that. You have to really just give it up and just work around it, you know.
Right. Now, I know
and
Sam
then, you know,
Sugar
that's why I talk about Marty Oakley, because Marty and Oakley, we're never in competition. We never sit there and say, your show's doing better than mine. We don't even go in that direction. Her and I are really good friends, and we want the word out there, too. And so, and we work together, you know. We work together and bringing out all this information. She does her show. I do my show. Sometimes we do shows together. But that's the way it should be, you know.
I like to get on her show. And the thing is,
I can get you on her show.
We're trying to, you know, have everybody recognize the Constitution when we're going up against a corrupt system. What Robin said, basically, is we're trying to get a remedy just like everybody else. Is Robin, are you still out there?
Yeah, I'm right here, yeah.
But what I'm saying, I could get you on her show. I could send her an email right now. I could get a response from her. But I on a daily basis, you know.
And Robin, back to what you were talking about earlier, is that okay? And you have a great voice, but as you see that you think it is a corrupt system. But we only have certain players we're dealing with here. We, in our platform, okay, you have the public administrators that I have a book right here that are not county employees. Second, they answer to the Supreme Court Justice of Colorado, not of the United States. Could be the next step if they don't take our cases. Third step would be the governor. Now, our number one step is media, and it needs media attention now.
And that guy from Elbert County, there was a law firm down in Colorado Springs. What are they called? The Wolf?
You and I think we're taking a trip down there, David.
The Wolf, what is the name of that?
Yeah,
and
they're the one that takes on Supreme Court.
Oh, the one that takes on the Supreme Court case. That's after you've been kicked out of the Colorado Supreme Court. Now, we didn't want to go to the Colorado Supreme Court because we heard what happened to Roger Hilligans. He went and fought and became a vexatious litigant, which they already blamed us for as being vexatious.
I've heard that with Peggy Dupree. I've heard that with so many different people saying they're vexatious. So I got in.
Vexatious.
So I've heard from two people tonight that I have bad reception, that they can't hear me. So I want to let our viewers know that I will. As it said, it's bad reception. There could be two problems. I think we have a big snowstorm that happened here, and also I'm just going to take this phone in. Well, then I'll come back.
It's okay.
I know it's not the internet.
It's okay, Luann.
Is anybody else out there can't hear me? I want to clear this up before we do this big show next week. So if anybody calls in, 845-241-9962, I want to hear from other states out there. Can you hear me quite loud and clear? I want to make sure. And everybody said they're saying working much better, great show. Okay, so it's coming on better. So it might just be the internet, you guys. It might just be the snowstorm that we had. Okay.
And we're not focused on these little public officials. We are but it is a deep state. And this, what they wrote into law was in 1975 with their probate code, which should have been abolished by the 1980s, except nobody has used their constitution. And that's
So can you talk more about David, about there's a thing called Know Your Constitution by Carl Miller. I've watched a lot of that too, and I do believe everybody needs to know the Constitution. The only problem I struggle with that is, like you were talking earlier about how you went into court and you were trying to tell them and they wouldn't listen to you. So what do you think go ahead.
That's where Article 6 comes in, and you have to stay strong. But they have – this is a corporate Ponzi scheme. They don't care. They don't follow the Constitution. They're not employed by the state or the county or by the city. So you have to yell it out until they recognize it. And other than that, they'll just null and void. But until you make them recognize it, until they go, oh, but they still won't care. They still don't care, but you have to do it until you get a response, and then you hit them again. And that, you know, basically that's Carl Miller's first argument. And it covered the all broad law, and that was Article 6 of the Constitution. Let me read it again for you, and that was the really important part.
Do it again.
It's Article 6, and it's the second paragraph. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. Not admiralty law, not maritime law, supreme law, which is common law, of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound
thereby anything in the constitutional laws to the state to the contrary is withstanding. Repugnancy. Anything that they make against the Constitution is repugnant of all laws. So that's where they come into the UCC law, Title 18.
Yes.
That they're
and they're pulling a fast one. They're pulling a fast
now,
one on
us. Now, once you pass their bar, you accepted their admiralty or maritime law. And the sad part about it is all our laws, you know, they're a derivative from the Constitution or a derivative of man, which came from the Bible. But if you go back, you know, into it comes from English law. So America, and once we set out those boats, like my father, my forefathers were on the Mayflower.
First one.
It was one of the first ones to step foot into the United States under maritime law. And that goes reverts back to English law, maritime and advertising.
Which turns
law.
In America into a corporation. So we're a corporation.
So we're a corporation then. Yeah.
Everything's a corporation.
Absolutely,
well,
we're a corporation.
Until you bring up the Constitution and you use it in a timely fashion and stand up for your rights.
Right.
What is that? Something in Elbert County that we have to get to, Wolf, and I've gotten to them. They shut me down because they knew that they were going to lose. If enough of us go to that Wolf, I forgot the name of it.
I know who you're talking about. But what I want to do right now is we're going to end the show in about 5 minutes, okay, because I'm going to talk to you after the show. But I just wanted to do this as a run through to make sure, because for some reason our shows have been being kicked off the air for the last month. I'm not sure what happened, but this is a good trial run. But, yeah, let's really get some kicking going on here and just really bring some really decent people onto the show and really set some boundaries to where we can just move this movement, you know, because we all see the flaws in these probate laws. I mean, Rob and I have been doing this legislation and all this stuff for so long, but as a nation, we have to stand together, and that's what I have to say tonight. Robin, what do you want to add on here before we sign off?
Well, I've pretty much said my piece. This country was founded on principles that were designed to empower its citizens, the ordinary people, to have the ability to keep their freedom, their God-given right to a free life, their God-given right to make choices for themselves. You know, God is very polite. God doesn't insist on us being one religion or another. God, the angels are very polite. They don't interfere in our life if we don't call to them and ask for help. And as human beings, we are given the right to be born and live our lives in freedom. And for us to give up those freedoms just because of where we're born goes against our nature. It is written in our nature that we should be able to follow our own spirit. Our spirit will guide us. Our soul will find its way through our own spiritual nature if we are given freedom. And that is why it is so important that we guard our freedom. Now, these courts have taken our God-given rights away from us, and they are operating criminal cabals. They're operating criminal groups of criminals, you know, that are gathered together, that are defending each other and guarding each other's backs. And in order to preserve our nation as a free nation, we can't have that kind of tyranny institutionalized in our country. And that's what we have in our courts, is an institutionalized tyranny, as long as we do not stop this activity of courts where criminal activity is authorized and protected by the court. So we've got to stop this criminal activity, and the Constitution is an excellent place to start, because that document does guarantee certain rights to us and privileges that, when we assert them and stand up for them, are the law of the land. see, these people are criminals. We need to recognize that they're operating as criminals, and we need to hold them accountable under the laws of our nation and under our God-given rights. And so you're absolutely right when you say, let's get back to the Constitution. Let's assert those constitutional rights in our courts. We have to do that, but we have to do it strongly and loudly and clearly and repeatedly until we are honored in our courts for the fact that the courts are court of law and we're asserting our lawful rights. And our legal rights are protected under the Constitution, and we've got to stand up for them. And so, yeah, I think that what we're talking about here is something that's doable, but, you know, this is a grow-your-own superheroes kind of game, which means you have to train yourself up to be able to go into that courtroom and stand up to these people who have their assumed pretend authority and say, no, no, this is assumed pretend authority. The real authority is the Constitution of the United States and my God-given rights as a human being born as under a nation that guarantees my freedom. And I stand up for that freedom, and I say to you, you will abide by the Constitution, because we're not going to have this kind of criminal activity where you're making laws that do not line up with the real law of the land. We're not going to have it in this America, which is my America. I am an American. I'm born under a system that guarantees my rights, and you will honor those rights in this courtroom, because this is not your courtroom, Judge. This is an American courtroom, and you are subject to the laws of this country. And, you know, that's a hard thing.
Subject
to
laws of these lands.
But it's what we have to do.
That was
very
well spoken.
We want them to honor the contract.
Right.
We want them to honor the contract that our forefathers set forth.
Yeah, exactly. You both are right on.
And if they come up and they say something to us again, you're going to violate my rights as you see fit. And that's what they're doing.
Right, and we want them to come face up. We want you
to honor the contract in the Constitution.
Yeah, face up.
It's one of the most important things I want to get.
Right.
We want them to honor the contract set forth by our forefathers in the Constitution. We are Americans.
Right.
We elected you into this job. We got you this job, and the first thing you do is try to scuttle the Constitution. We want you to honor the contract.
First thing they do when they get that job is they take a vow, and in that vow they pledge to uphold the Constitution, and that is if they do not, they're violating their own pledge and their own vow, and they are breaking their own promise to the American people, to you, to me, to everyone, that they would follow.
And that's a violation of oath of office. That's a violation of oath of office. I brought that up many times. And they'll try to scuttle it and go around. But if you get back to it and stay strong, there's nothing that they can do.
You have to keep putting it in their face.
You put it back, Article 6 of the Constitution. All pursuant to the treaties made thereof.
You won't be
under
popular,
the United
but you
States.
Might win your case.
And that's the thing, you know, they'll yell behind you, they'll yell beside you, the bailiff will look at you all funny and get behind you. And they have their scare tactics. They will put you in jail. But if you stay strong with the Constitution, no one can touch you. And we just want them to honor the contract that was set forth.
Right.
But that was a great speech,
very
by
well
the way,
said,
Roger.
You guys. Very well said. So we're going to go ahead and end this broadcast, and we're going to always end these shows with Robin Knight's favorite saying, is that you never, never, ever give up, and justice requires
never,
transparency
never
and accountability.
Never give up.
What'd you say, Robin?
That's right.
Well,
never, never, never quit, and justice requires transparency and accountability.
Yeah.
Never give up.
Some music that we have from Kelly Derrickson, and Robin and I met her at the Native American land down there in Denver, And she gave us this music to play, and she's coming up for nominations awards for the American Native Land. She's going to be voted in as one of the best singers, one of the best songs of the year. And she has a new song called, it's Warriors of Love, but it's called We Are Love. So she's going to be on the American Awards coming up. So she gave us her music to play at the end of our radio shows, but it's a beautiful song. Her name is Kelly Derrickson. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and say goodnight, everybody. This is October 30th. Two more days.
Thank
we got
you,
another month coming up.
Us.
And, yeah, we're going to be coming up to Thanksgiving. And hopefully we can get some stuff. David, make sure you contact me after the show and stuff to talk to you about. Anyway, good night, everybody. I love you all. And we'll be here again next week.
Good job. Good job, Lulu.
Good night. Yes.
Good night. Everyone.
Good night, Roger. I'm out. Robin.
Yeah.
Good night, David.
Hear the prayer of all God's creatures, feel the earth's heartbeat. Barefoot in the forest green or in the desert heat. Love is what it's all about. Great Spirit, hold our hands. Teach us now.